this is one where I know you folks. Of course, this morning I heard about illegal beef sales and things of that nature. That's a private joke. You'll have to ask Tom about that one. It's always good to be here. It's interesting when Nathan had called yesterday about what I was going to speak on, or maybe tying together with some of the issues of the songs. Literally, he caught me when I was in the car, and I was in between two sermons. I mean, as far as what I've prepared and what I was playing with, and you'll see where this kind of comes together, because part of what I want to tie in with you today is a common theme, something you hear about, we refer to, is seeking Christ, seeking God in your life, which you go, oh, well, that's pretty generic. But here's what I'm going to go back to, and I'll start with this before we pray and before I even open the scripture. It was interesting because when Nathan was talking about, and you guys will know this from most of you that know what I do, and again, because of speaking and counseling and the ministry and profession I'm in, I see families all the time, families that are hurting. I mean, in many ways, that's very rarely do I get someone who comes in and says, hey, I just stopped for a tune-up. What I hear is usually that it's crashed and burned. And so when I was looking at this and when I was preparing the sermons about seeking Christ, and actually there's somewhat of a serious component of this because I've spoken on this in several various churches a little differently. But then last night, you know, most of you had seen that. We were in Indianapolis and the ambulances that started going, and because of the bus crash. In fact, the church that we attend has a lot of connections with that church and a lot of things that were going on. Those folks were coming back from a youth camp, and so was there our own church that we attend were coming back. And what it made me think about is this, which will tie into what we're talking about, is how quickly life is before you and how it's gone. So I'm not trying to jump on something and go, oh, let's use the illustration of what happened. It's how quickly things are gone. Here's a youth group that was going. It could be from this church. It could be from any church. And on their way back, a mile from there, and literally that is, if you know where that church is located, it's a mile from where they were getting ready to get off. I think about that. I think about what takes place. Any of you that's been on a church bus, or any, when you're almost home, what starts to take place about a mile or two from home? You know, you start, if you were like me, it's like, ah, okay, get to sleep in a regular bed again. But then it was, then it started thinking about school. You think about all the things that you look at in your life that you're going to start doing. But in a moment, that bus turns over and three people are dead. In fact, we were talking about those of you that followed up on it. It was the youth pastor and his wife, and she was actually carrying a child, okay? So, and they have a two-year-old that's still alive. Now, those are the things you start looking at, and every one of us will do this. Why? What's going on? Why would that happen? I mean, what purpose does that serve? But yet God in his wisdom is what we always come back to. But the interesting thing is at times we get mad at God for things that happen because we don't understand them, and at times we'll pull back when actually we could seek and should go towards him. So it will tie in now with what I'm going to look at today. So turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to hit several passages today. And in fact, which one of these is on today, guys? The mic 2 or mic 1? Mic 2? Wonder if I use mic 1, though. I might walk a little bit. How about there? Is that good? If I lay this down a minute, can I do that and pick it up still? Okay, good. Again, it's always good. I want to start with this. Deb, I'm always glad to have Deb with me. It's interesting because we just celebrated 35 years. So I'm getting ready to feel much older, okay? But I look at our lives, and where I'm going with this is, how does Christ become first in your life? Now, here's what I want to set the stage with. I want you to catch this before we pray and before we read. From the standpoint of, here's the questions that I want you to look at. Who are you following? How has it changed you? Who's following you? And how has it changed them? Okay? You're with me a minute? So stay with me. I'm going to go back to that. Who are you following? How has it changed you? Who's following you? And how has it changed them? as I was sitting here a moment ago, even thinking about what you guys are doing as far as the fair, and actually John said it, we're missionaries every day. But the question always becomes one of what does your life show? And again, a very simple, when we talk about being a Christian, it means to be Christ-like. Are you Christ-like? So in many ways, if you're following Christ, how has it changed you? Because in the counseling setting, I see so many people that will come in, and it really hasn't changed them. Has it changed you? Because then it comes back, then who's following you, and how has it changed them? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. As always, we are humbled when we come into your house and we look at what you've provided and how often we are amiss in giving thanks for so many things. We pray now for those that are hurting. Of course, Lord, you know what happens when a bus overturns and lives are taken, but to be with you, Lord, give wisdom to these folks. Guide this week for this church, the ministry they have here at the fair, those that are hurting, those that are in need. And Lord, help me to express what you would have today in a way that would speak to hearts in a special way. In thy precious name, amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "For I know that," and this is speaking out of the King, New King James, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet for what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress in the joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." Now, I'm going to be a little bit here because Nathan may have spoken. I never know exactly when I'm coming into what degree. But I want you to catch the issue that we're talking about, because Philippi in many ways will represent where we're at as well. Philippi was a very metropolis area that had been built in many ways as a trading post. But it was experiencing significant growth to the point that Rome itself considered it a Roman colony. Now, why that was important is because then the people of Philippi were attributed and able to give, in many ways, all the things that were received as a Roman citizen. It's very important from that standpoint, because now they had the exact, here's Rome, here's Philippi, they had the qualities and the fortitude, the wealth that gave them really what would be luxury. Anything they wanted, we know that in Philippi was really at their disposal. What Paul is starting to say back to them, though, is, look, you've become so enamored with all the things that you have that you're starting to forget who gave them to you. Now, the Roman people themselves and the Greeks at that time didn't really know Christ at all. But what Paul is saying to those of you that I've been there, and you know, look, you need to have joy, but you also need to have discernment in your own life. What are you doing? Who are you following? Have you kind of gone back to your old ways? Or are you really following Christ? Much like us today at times. We get involved, and here again, a very simple text from this. We get involved in so many things in our lives, and this is what I see in counseling, so that when things happen, at times you get lost in, Lord, why is this all, what's going on, and what's it all about? But the key is, do you even understand Christ? I'm amazed at the people that will sit in my office, and you've heard me even say this before, but more even now, more so in the last few years than I've ever seen in my entire 30-something years of counseling. People that I will say is, tell me who Christ is in your life, and they will sit there dumbfounded and look at me and say something to the effect of this. But I attend church, kinda, sorta. Now, without sounding like I'm stepping on toes or going off into a tangent, You know, here's the other thing. What I've realized, and I've seen this a lot, and there may be some of you that are going to be offended by this, but so many people, and again, I may be talking to people right here, there are so many things that pull us away on a Sunday morning, that pull us away from church in general. I had a young man the other day that was sitting in my office, and I said, your parents attend church. Do you attend church? Are you in a youth group? And he goes, well, Dr. Vaughn, we don't have a chance to go because I'm on so many traveling teams. I'm in this and this. And I said to his dad, I said, you know what? With all the problems that your son's having, although he's super in these sports, and he goes, well, you know what, Dr. Vaughn? He goes, the key right now is getting him a scholarship. Really, it is. Getting him a scholarship. He goes, well, you know how expensive college is. And he's got all these talents and all these things. And I said, that's great. And I said, but does he know Christ in his life? Because if he dies today, what would happen? What would the scholarship? He goes, well, you know, it's not like we don't talk about God. And I said, that's funny because your son tells me you don't talk about God. In fact, do you sit down with him periodically or just every so often and pray with him? And he said, well, you know, we do pray. He goes, you seem like you're real critical of me. And I said, no, your son's having problems and you're asking for help. I'm trying to figure out, where does Christ live in your life? Does your son follow you because Christ is evident in your life? He looked at me and he said, well, he used to be. Amen. Used to be? Christ used to be? What does that mean? He goes, well, you know, we're just so busy. You see what Philippi, the church of Philippians, were getting to the point where we're so busy, there's so many things going on, and Paul's saying, wait a second, it has to be Christ first because all these other things will burn up. They don't mean anything. You know, I look at it and I say this to you because God has blessed all of us, and it is a struggle. You and I know how much of a struggle it is to be in this world and to pay bills, to take care of things. But who owns all those things? Who's in control? I still look back, and you all have done this as well because college has gone. I always am amazed at times how I paid for college. I'm amazed at how I paid for a house. I'm amazed at how Deb and I, for 35 years, like most of you at times, paid for a lot of things. But you know what? God always provided. It wasn't magical. You have to work sometimes, but God always takes care. But the moment that you and I sit back and say, well, you know what? Here's what I have to do in order to make this work. You take it out of God's hands and you start leading. And at that point, what does your family see? What do your friends see? Had a guy recently that said to me, he goes, well, you know, Dr. Vaughn, he goes, you know, I think Christian faith and those things, that's a personal thing. That's a very private thing. Really? How private? He goes, well, you know, I know talk about people witnessing and telling others about Christ, but he goes, I just think that's something you should keep to yourself. Really? Where's that written? Because if you kept it to yourself long enough, nobody knows. And guess what? If nobody knows, you can do whatever you want to. As long as the ticket's punched for you. And that's what it becomes. It becomes a ticket, you know. So that then if I die, I get into heaven, but, well, so much for the rest of you. I hope God kind of led you. Is that what Christ said? Paul's talking about it, and he said, look, I want you guys to be out there. I want you to be witnessing because it's all about Christ. You know, we use that verse, and let's go back to it. He says, that, and this is where I always look in particular, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so that now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Woo, that's a tough one. By life or by death. I don't know how God will use a bus accident on 465 with three people being killed to magnify. It's beyond my comprehension. But I know in everything, if those people who are saying they're followers of Christ, which should include us, are you willing to die if needed? Are you willing to face death if it would bring someone to him? Now, it's easy to say those things, but actually, if you're living it, there are people in Indianapolis today that are going to have to make funeral arrangements for their family. And at that moment, it really means, does Christ, is he everything? Because Paul was saying, by death, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We use that over and over again. Is it really gain to die? And actually it is, if you think about what we describe, is that we talk about heaven. And not that I necessarily want to go to heaven this moment, but I shouldn't be afraid, because if you think about what heaven represents, it's a gain. That's what the Greek context is. It's a reward. And Paul's saying, you know what, look at what he says. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. He's saying, you know what, I choose to really look and work with you. But there's another part of me that says, you know, to go on to heaven, that'd be great. And you know why? Because we look at Paul's life. And I think about, I was going back to this study, and we've all done this. But man, Paul went through, I mean, he's sick, shipwrecked a couple of times. I always think one shipwreck would be enough, wouldn't it? You know, you ever think about it? He's out there a day and a half. I think, okay, Lord, I paid my dues on that shipwreck thing. How about give me a break on the next one? And then the other part of it is, I'd be afraid to travel with Paul. You ever think about that? If Paul said, well, I'm going to be taking that ship, I'm taking the next one. Okay? But Paul's saying, it's because I've chosen to do something that at times is outside of me. It really is outside of me altogether, because it's about Christ. It's a joy. In fact, the theme of this whole book is to have joy no matter what the situation is. And that's where it becomes difficult, because you can only have joy if you really know Jesus Christ in your life personally, and it's living it daily. That's a tough one. When I scolded you a moment ago and not meaning to, I know there are ball games and things, but I also know that when you're on a traveling team, and I know when everything takes your life up, you know what, there's a point where you don't know who to follow in the time of a crisis. You ever been following somebody and then all of a sudden they take a track and they go a different direction? And you think, uh-oh, that was wrong. But now I'm stuck. Think back for a moment when you've been in a situation, maybe with a business deal, maybe with somebody in your own family, maybe when somewhere you were on a hike, where you look at it and you said, I hope they know where they're going. I hope. We want to know where we're going, right? A simple phrase, but Christ knows where he's going. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Hold on to me and I'll lead you. You may not like exactly where you're going to go at times, but God says, you know, when it's all said and done, the reward is heaven itself. Whether you live today or die today, remember, when it's all said and done, you've got something laid up before you where you're joined ever with Jesus Christ. You're a king of a king. You get to walk with him. Now, if I'm younger, I always remember when young people would do this and they'd say, yeah, of course, it's for the old people. They've lived their life, you know. They want to die. Okay. Now, you know I'm kidding. I'm getting close to that too, so don't. Okay. But I can't remember that thinking, because we've all done it. When you're 18 or 19, you're bulletproof. Every one of us, most of us, have done things that you'll look back, especially guys, and you'll say, man, that was stupid. But at the time, it's great. I may have used this here. I don't remember, so you have to forgive me, those of you that have heard me say this. I remember one time I was in South Swamps of Georgia, jumping off a 35-foot tree into a river. Didn't even know where I was jumping into. Got out there so much, when I'm over the top of this river, my knees were shaking so much I could hardly jump off. At the time, it was like, man, is this an adrenaline rush? This is super. This is great. And then I remember dropping in that river and literally water moccasins started coming out towards me and thinking, wait a second, this isn't so great. But the friend of mine who jumped first, who thought we knew where he was going, he said, and where was he at? He's already down the river. This isn't so much fun. There are certain times you realize in the middle of something that you thought was okay, it turns and it's not okay, because you were following the wrong person or you weren't paying attention to the road signs. Paul's saying pay attention, because he says, look, for I have pressed between two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I will know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy of the faith. Paul's saying, I'm going to stick around, because guess what? I want to teach you more so that you can teach others. Your faith is a personal issue, but it's to be shared. Now, I want you to think about something here a minute, because I'm going to put you on the spot and I'm not going to ask you to say it out loud. How many of you this week, just 1 week, have shared your faith with somebody? Doesn't have to be directly to them, but maybe by saying, I'm going to pray for you. I want you to know that I'm overwhelmed with something. I want to share something with you. Think about that. Just this week alone. How about in the last 2 weeks? How about your coworkers? How about around you? If you've said to someone, you know what, can I just pray for you a moment? I'd like you to know that I'd be praying for you about that. And even then, would they look at you like, praying for me? Really? You? You pray? Boy, that's something. Would they be shy? I went on to keep talking to that young man by himself, and I said, so when your dad, you know, you heard what he said in here a minute ago, and I said, so tell me about Christ in your life, and what does it mean? You know, your dad said you guys used to go to church, and he said, finally, this young man, 17 years of age, he goes, to be honest, you know, Dr. Vaughn, I don't really know what you're talking about. He goes, when you talk about Christ in your life and all those things, he goes, I know what Dad said. He goes, but to be honest, that's not how it is. And he goes, yeah, we do pray every once in a while. He goes, I do remember on big occasions we'll pray. And he goes, then there's certain times that if it's in between ball games and those things, we do attend a certain church. When Dad said that we've attended that church a lot, he goes, that's really not true. He goes, I really can't tell you what that church is all about. Then I started asking him about what schools he's going to be attending and what scholarships and all those things and recruiting. Man, he had that down pat. Here's what this school is, and here's what this takes, and here's what I think I'm going to get. Here's what this recruiter told me. Here's what this coach that came by. And he said, you know what? I think my life's set. He goes, if I can just make it on that team, he goes, I got it made. And he goes, you know what's all said and done? He goes, I'll be making big bucks. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Big bucks. How much money you make? What car you drive? That's what it's really about. He said, you got something wrong with that, Dr. Vaughn? I don't think you're driving a piece of junk out there. You got a pretty nice car. Yes, I do. But it's not about cars. It's not about things. It's about when all of a sudden your son or daughter looks into that casket and looks at your face, are they going to think about cars and things, or are they going to think about Jesus Christ in heaven? When you look in that son or daughter's face, heaven forbid, but it happens, in some of the saddest cases that I've ever been involved in, and some of you, Nathan will handle it, many of you as elders will handle it. When you're sitting in a casket, when you're sitting there looking at a loved one who's a child, it is devastating. I don't care who you are, your heart breaks. You ever been to one of those when you have that little white casket and you see that little casket that's so small and you say, how is that? That's when your heart breaks. And you know what the only hope is? It's Jesus Christ. Amen. Because at that moment, it's not about scholarships. It's not about how much money you're going to make. It's not about cars. If I go down there tonight, if I go to that church tonight and say, hey, you know what? We're here, and all of you that had a devastation on this bus, and those of you that we're going to give you all $5,000, you know, to be applied to any car of your choice down here at the local car dealership. I said, are you nuts, Vaughn? Well, how many of you say, and how about if I walked in and said, I know you're all grieving, but you know what? If you come down to the car dealership tonight, we're going to give you all $10,000 off a car of your choice. Would they care? Would they be jumping up and going, oh my goodness, this was really something. I didn't know that because of the death of this person, I was going to be able to get that $10,000. You see, money at that moment doesn't make a difference, does it? Things go away. But the whole issue of being magnified in Christ, and the goal is to not be ashamed and be bold. Are you bold in your witness? Are you bold in your witness with your family? Would your son or daughter sitting in my office be able to tell me about Christ? Or would they say to me, we do go to Moreland Church every so often. It's kind of a nice church. But nah, that Christ thing, I'm not really sure what that's all about. I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all the progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Paul was excited because he said, you know what, I know you're struggling. I know in the church of Philippi, he goes, you know, you got all those nice things, and man, you guys are just coming out with, but when it's all said and done, who are you following? How has it changed you? Who's following you now, and how has it changed them? Nobody wants to die, and we all want to live. To remain in this flesh, Paul said, would be over only what Christ would want. Let me start to bring this back around now. Because you say, man, Vaughn, thank you for the exciting things that you talked to us about today. You're really a bundle of joy. I want you to catch it because it should be joyous, right? Living for Christ should bring joy. But in this world, there is sadness. In this world, there are things that make us overwhelmed. But Christ said, that's okay, look up. Look ahead. Because one day, you know what? That knee that hurts on your body, it ain't going to hurt anymore. One day when you're crying, you won't have to worry about tears anymore. Because God says one day, with me, you're going to have all that wiped away. But now wait a second, Vaughn. Be prepared because there's still a task ahead of you. There's a task that says, I want you to follow me, and I want to make sure that that witness that you have is about me, not about you. A couple other verses here I want you to look at. If you would, turn with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians 15:31. We talk about this. This is another verse that you hear often, and let me bring this around as we start to talk about how we're going to put this together. 15:31. I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord that I die daily. Now we talk about that one little piece there just for a moment. It says I die daily. How does a person die daily? Now I know you've probably heard this spoke on, so I want to tie it back though. To die daily means that every day when you look in the mirror, in fact when I was at school, when I was attending the college that I attended, like I said, on the mirror in the bathroom of this old house that we shared, there was a little sign that one of the guys that I roomed with put up, and it says, have you died today? So every time you walk in this bathroom and you start to wash your hands or shave, you look at it, have you died today? What does it mean to die today? When you get up today, we're coming to church, did you look at it and say, Lord, whatever it is, let me die to me today and let me be able to show forth you today? That's a hard thing to do. But if I'm really going to follow Paul, which was following Christ, Christ said you got to look at it, are you dying daily? Are you in such that it is not about you, but it's Christ again? So let's take it back and tie it together. So when you look at what's taking place today, when you're sitting there with your kids or grandkids, because even if you don't have children now, it doesn't matter, it's your grandkids. And then it's your workers, it's those around you. When they look at it, is the goal of what I'm doing here on this earth always to bring a better relationship for people to know who Jesus Christ is? When you guys attend that Moreland Fair, and when Mary was sitting there a minute ago, I have to admit, I was just at the fair over there at Delaware County the other day, and I was watching those people give the tickets. You know what? Now, Mary, wait a second. Don't jump at me. There's nothing glorious about sitting in that booth. No matter what, there's nothing glorious about it. But if somebody sees me sitting in that booth to sell tickets, who then may turn around and go down to that hospitality suite that you're also thinking about? Because here's the other part of it. When Keith said that, it was like, oh, man, Friday night. Well, that's a bummer. So much stuff going on. Maybe it wasn't Friday night. Was it Wednesday night? Excuse me. Okay. It doesn't matter what night. Because some of you will sit there and go, yeah, we could do that. But then it would take away from... You know where I'm going. Everything comes with a price. Everything comes with a possibility of doing A or doing B. It's a lot more fun if you're at the fair walking up and down and eating corn and doing whatever, than sitting in there if it's 110 degrees passing out pies. But if you die daily, that may be exactly what Christ is having you do, because you never know when that person who's sitting there, who's down in the dumps, and you hand them that piece of pie or whatever you're going to do, and you do it with a spirit of joy, they may not, you don't, it doesn't have to be, well, eat this in the name of Christ. It doesn't have to be like that, right? It may just be the smile on your face. And then all of a sudden you start to talk to them, and lo and behold, they might say something about, so now you are from where? Where's this sign right here? I passed by there. Just maybe the smile on your face may be what brings them to this church, which may be what one day they're sitting here going, you know what, tell me more about Christ. We all sacrifice something. And there's a sacrifice daily for what it means to really follow Christ. Paul understood that greatly, because he knew what it was to go through adversity. Some of you sit here today, and I say this because you've gone through adversity that some of us can't imagine. But through it all, who are you following? Not too long ago, for those that are older, I had a gentleman, I won't break confidence, you know this, but he was sitting in my office, and he was in his 80s, and he said, you know, Dr. Vaughn, I never thought I'd be in a place like your office. I said, well, you know, you're here. What can I do for you? And it's a little more than that. And he said, I've gone into my life, and he goes, I'm a pretty stoic guy. He said, Christ has always been at the forefront of everything that I've tried to do. He goes, but you know, and I know who this man is. I know his testimony and those things. But he said, through all this, he said, there's a few things that start to affect me as I get ready to prepare for death. I thought, oh, maybe he has cancer, one of those things. He says, no, something like that. And again, without breaking confidence, I want to change a little bit because I want you to grasp without breaking what he said. But he said, you know what? When I was in the war, during World War II, he said, there were some things that have happened to me that went through me that, he goes, I have never, ever in my life shared. When I came back, I put it in Christ's hands, and he goes, I kept going. But he said, now as I review my life, he said, the atrocities and some of the things that I had seen, he goes, they come back to haunt me. And he said, in a weird way, he goes, I'm here because I'm going to dump them on you. And he went through some things that some of you gentlemen, of course, have been through war, whether it's through World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, things that I have to admit I can't fathom, I only read about. But when he started to describe it, and he started going through it and talking about it, it was like, man. And I said, how old were you? He said, well, actually, I was 17, because he goes, I'd lied to get in, you know, which most of you guys did, I found out. My dad said to me one day, he said, I said, Dad, how old were you when you went? He said, well, on the record it said 17. But he goes, I was probably about 17. Excuse me, he's 18 on the record, but he says 17. He goes, you just did that because it was something you did. And then when he started talking about it, now here's where I'm coming back. And I said, so why? And he said, because the thing that I look at, and he goes, this is why I'm telling you. He goes, there were times when I would sit there in war, and he goes, I would pray to God. And he goes, I would cry out to God and say, Lord, if you can just get me out of this foxhole, if you can just get me out of this one, I'm gonna serve you. And he said, you know, I'm sitting here because I looked back over my life, and he goes, here I am in my 80s, and he said, and I haven't served God like I should have. And he goes, I have regrets. And in fact, he came back to this verse. He said, you know what, there were times that I would look in the mirror, and he goes, I remember a verse, and I said, yeah, I know which one you're talking about. And he said, I kept thinking, I need to die to myself and get back to what I know, because when I was sitting in that foxhole, or when I was sitting there with bullets coming by my head, and he goes, I was sitting there saying, Lord, you get me out of this one, I guarantee you, I'm going to serve you. And he said, but along the way, I kept letting me get in the way. Now, God forgives, and he forgives every one of us, and you know that. We talked about that. We talked about not relying on ourselves, but relying on God only. And when it came down to it, here's where I want you to see. Here's where I want to come back. If you are truly following Christ, then you got to make some changes. Because every one of us, whether I'm sitting in a foxhole during World War II, or I'm sitting at home, or whether I'm with my children, or at a ball game, or at work, I choose to either serve Christ or to serve me. Who are you serving? What testimony will you leave? I'm always humbled with the final passage that I come back to, that, you know, it says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. I had a gentleman in my office, and I get some characters, and he said, I don't believe in God. He goes, I'm only here because of a couple of things. And he goes, but I heard you're a Christian. And he goes, I just want to come at you with a couple of things while I have a chance. And this was, you have to understand the circumstances, because I go, okay, here we go. You know, I'll take a deep breath like some of you, and I go, so what? And he goes, you know this whole thing about God and all those, and we go through the ritual which you've all heard, and there's that debate, and I've almost gotten to the point, you have to know at this point in my life, and again, I don't feel like I'm some old codger, but I won't debate anymore. It's a waste of my time. It's a waste of your time. Here's what I come back to. I always say, you know why? It's what you've heard, what you guys have even used. I said, here's the reality. One day you will bow your knee before God. I believe it. I know it. And he goes, I'll never bow before God. And I said, oh, yeah, you will. And I said, the scary thing is, at that point, it will be too late. Because when you bow with him before him at that point, he's going to say this, depart from me, I never knew you. And he said, and that's what I hate about you Christians. You believe that somehow there's going to be this. And I said, no, that's what I know. So I said, maybe God brought you here today. Maybe the chance is that you have one more chance to accept him. He goes, that's where it starts. I knew you were going to come up with that one. And I said, but that's where it comes back to. I tremble to think about what I know about this God who is so awesome that he created everything. And that he loves me enough that he talks to you and I. But he also makes a demand on us. He says, Gary, follow me. Even when it hurts, even when you're overwhelmed, even when you won't understand, follow me. Romans 5, verses 2 through 4, and you want to turn them, I'm going to read it. It's talking about rejoicing. It says, more that we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance or perseverance, and endurance or perseverance and produces character. And the word there means being approved. And then character produces the one thing that all of us want is hope. Did you catch that? We rejoice in our sufferings. I have a hard time doing that. You know what? I don't like when I suffer. I don't like when I get a splinter in my finger. I don't like when I scrape my knee. I don't like when bad things happen. Said though, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. I end with this. Aaron, my son, most of you remember him, called me a few months ago, and he's about as in fit as you can be. Okay? Now, he's a 30-year-old guy, and he's talking to me, and I was thinking about Jeff, and maybe Jeff and a few of you still do. I remember when I was here before, you guys ride and bikes and do all these hilly hundreds and all this stuff. And I've actually, to be honest, I believe in exercise and those things. So I always try to stay in shape. Well, he's into this thing that some of you will know is CrossFit. You know, this guy's doing, at times, it's like, and you got to remember my son's a psychologist too, but he does the push-ups where you stand against the wall, and it's weird to even describe it. Those of you that have seen it, he does push-ups standing on his head. Then he turns around and he carries an 80-pound bag of rocks on his back running up and down the hill. You know, crazy stuff, but he's in shape. And he said, I'd like for you and I in October to go hiking. Now, he's talking, here's my enjoyment of hiking. Going to Mounds Park, you know, going about, you know, I don't know, half a mile or a mile, and then sitting down with a big thing of tea or Kool-Aid or something, you know. And that's good hiking. I actually hike a little more than that. He's talking about hiking. He's talking about where you put the pack on your back and you go out in the middle of nowhere. you know, and you build a fire and you stay there and hike some more. So I said, okay. He said, but you're going to have to get in shape. Can't we just magically pray and that does it? Can't you just say, God, you know, today get me in shape so I can do this? No, when God calls you, he has to prepare you. And to prepare you means you have to go after it. So long story short, let me bring this to a close. So he's got me doing this app all beside the iPhones. And you know, man, I'm like on the second week, and I was out there yesterday, and I'm huffing and puffing, and I'm into the jog mode, the stop mode, and this lady's talking to you on this thing. Speed it up, bristly, bristly. And it's like, man. And I realize I'm not even close yet. I'm ready to be done, and I'm not even close. I still have another 9 weeks. I want to stop. I want to quit and just say, let's just go back to that hiking at Mounds Park and drinking iced tea. No. Because when you're called to do something, you have to put the work in. And when you put the work in, it may be tough, may be difficult, but there's a payoff. The payoff for you and I is when you're following Christ, one day when our knee bows and our tongue confess and say, you are Jesus Christ, you know what he's going to say at that point? Step forward. Let me show you what's prepared for you. But he calls us to do it in such a way that other people are following us because they see Christ in you. Whether you're handing that piece of pie and all they see is a smile. If you're sitting in that ticket booth, whoever that will be, and when you hand that ticket, will somebody see the smile on your face and maybe remember you the next time when they see you at the grocery store? And then will remember that you're at the grocery store and you attend that Moreland church? And maybe, you know what, maybe, just maybe, I'll step into that Moreland church one day and see what it's all about. Because in the end, the character that's built produces hope, and the hope is what? In Christ Jesus. Let's end with the first questions that we ask, because here's where I'm going to end in a word of prayer, and then I'll ask Nathan to come up, and he will close as he sees fit. Who are you following? How has it changed you? Who's following you? And how has it changed them? Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that I would have not said anything that would be harsh. It's not my point, Lord, to be critical. Lord, I know that you alone have sacrificed your only Son. Because of you, Christ, we have hope eternally. I pray for this church. I pray for each person here that's hurting. Those of us that we know that when we look in the mirror, we realize, no, we really haven't died today. That the old person inside of us wants to take control. Lord, I pray that we'd step forward and really be a witness, even if we're meek, even if it's hard for us to talk, even if it's hard for us to say words, that, Lord, a smile that you might give us or a word of encouragement for someone else may be exactly what's needed for them to want to know more about who you are. For those that, again, are here today seeking to figure out what in their life is missing, Lord, let it be revealed in how and who you are in such a way to change so that the day when we leave, and especially this week, that this church really, Lord, would have a witness at this fair that people would see and be able to know that it's not about this building, it's not about the mortar and the bricks, and it's about you, Lord, living in their lives, and that people would want to know more what Christ is because they see it manifested in the lives of these people today. Bless, Lord, I pray those are hurting, guide in a way that only you can. Thank you for who you are. In all things we honor and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.